It is a habit of the uncivilized, the Egyptian retorted, to speak in riddles. Does my patron not love riddles? Responded the old man. 'Tis a pity. I could tell him so many. But this one is quite simple. They have said that I offered only 6 gifts and not 7, as I had boasted and as it is proper to do. Well, then, this slave who keeps my list is the 7th gift, a Canaanitish youth whom, besides my much-praised myrrhs, I have brought down to Egypt, and who is for sale. Not that I must sell him, or would do so because he is no good to me, for he can bake and write and hath a clear head for accounts. But to a good house, a house like yours, in short, he is for sale, if you will pay me a living price, and no more, for I would have a good place for him. Our numbers are full, the steward said hastily, shaking his head, for he had no liking for riddles, either in the usual or in a higher sense, but spoke like a practical man, anxious to protect his business interests against importunity from anything out of the usual order. The divine, in short. There is no vacancy here, he said, and the house is full. We need no baker nor writer, nor any clear heads, for mine is clear enough to keep things in order. Take your 7th gift with you on your way, and may it find you profit. For it is beggarly trash, and a beggar, and the trash of a beggar, Dudu, husband of Jesset, concluded sententiously. But another little voice answered his heavy one, the cricket-like chirp of Beauty the Fool. The 7th gift is the best. Buy it, Montcalm. The old man took up his tale. The clearer one's own head, the more vexing the dullness of the others, for one suffereth impatience on their account. A clear head at the top needeth clear heads below. I had already in mind this servant for your house, when great space yet lay between me and it, and brought him down before you to make you an advantageous and friendly offer. For the young one is clear of head and eloquent of tongue, so that it is a pleasure, and bringeth before you adornments out of the treasure-house of speech, so that it is a mere delight. 360 times in the year he saith good night to one in a different phrase, and still has something left for the other 5 days. But if ever he says it twice the same, you may give me him back again, and I will refund the purchase money. Hearken, old man, replied the overseer. All that you say may be true, but whilst we speak of patience, I am well nigh at the end of mine. In my good nature I was ready to take a few gewgaws from your pack, of the which I have no need at all, but not to disoblige your gods, and so as to be able to go into the house. And lo, you would talk me into buying your good-night-saying slave, and makest as though he were destined for the house of Petipres since the foundation of the land. Here Dudu, scribe of the wardrobe, gave vent from his lowly station to a burst of deep round laughter. Ho, 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 he went, and the overseer cast him a quick, angry look. Where did you get it, then, this 7th gift with the gift of tongues? He asked. He did not look toward Joseph, but stretched out his hand for the roll, which the latter gracefully presented. Montcalm unrolled it, and held it away from his eyes, for he was already very long-sighted. Meanwhile, the old man answered, A pity it is indeed that my patron does not love riddles, else I could tell him one, in answer to his question, whence I have the lad. A riddle? Repeated the overseer absently, for he was looking at the roll. Guess it if you will, said the old man. It runs, A barren mother bore him to me. Can you solve the riddle? Did he write this list? Montcalm asked, still reading. Step back, you. It was done with thoroughness and with pleasure, and executed with a sense for adornment. That I will not dispute. It might serve as an inscription to decorate a wall. Whether it is correct as well, that I cannot judge, for it is gibberish. Baron? He asked, for he had heard the old man's words with half an ear. A barren mother? What does that mean? A woman is barren, or else she bears. Both cannot be true. It is a riddle, my lord. explained the old man. I took the liberty to dress my reply in the garment of jest. If it please you, I will supply the answer. Far from here, I came on a dry well, out of which sounded a whimpering, and I drew up to the light of day this, which had been 3 days in the well's belly, and gave it milk. Thus the well became a mother, and yet was barren. Said the overseer, your riddle is passable. More one cannot say, or laugh very heartily at it. If I smile, it is out of pure politeness. Mayhap, replied the old man, rather hurt, you might have laughed more readily if you had been able to guess it. Solve me, the steward gave back, another riddle, and a harder one. Namely, that I should stand here prattling with you, and why? Solve it better than you have your own, for so far as I know, there are no monsters that breed in wells to give birth to such as this. How, then, did the child come into the belly, and the slave into the well? Hard masters and former owners of whom I bought him had cast him in, by reason of slight misdemeanors which do not lessen his value because they had to do only with subtle matters and fine distinctions, like that between the so that and the in order that, matters not worth talking about. But I bought him, having taken him between thumb and finger, as it were, and found the boy to be fine in thread and grain, notwithstanding the darkness of his origins. Also, he had already rued his errors while in the well, and punishment had so purged him that he was a valuable servant to me. And he could not only read and write, but bake uncommonly relishable pancakes on stones. I well know that a man should not boast of his own, but leave it to others to call it extraordinary. Yet indeed, for the dexterity and the understanding of this youth, purified as they are by chastisement, there is in the language but one word. They are extraordinary. And now, since your eyes have fallen upon him, and I owe you a debt for my folly in plaguing you with riddles, receive him as a present from me for Petipre and his house over which you are set. Though, of course, I well know that you would contrive a recompense for me out of the riches of Petipre, so that, and in order that, I may live to supply your house and ever increase it. The overseer looked at Joseph. Is it true, said he, with suitable gruffness, that you have the gift of speech, and can say such things as are pleasant to hear? Jacob's son gathered all his Egyptian together. Servant speech is no speech, he answered, using a popular phrase. That the lowly shall be silent when the masters speak together stands at the beginning of every book of precepts. Besides, my name, by which I call myself, is a name of silence. How so? How are you called, then? Joseph hesitated. Then he lifted up his eyes. O Sarsif, he said. O Sarsif? Repeated Montcalm. I know not the name. It is not foreign. Indeed, it is comprehensible, since he from Abodu occurs in it, the Lord of the Eternal Silence. But it is not customary in the land. No one is so called in Egypt, either now or under any earlier kings. But even if you have a name of silence, O Sarsif, yet your master says that you can utter pleasant wishes and say good night in a variety of ways at the end of the day. Well, I too shall go to bed tonight and lie on my bed in the special room of trust. What will you say to me? Rest gently, answered Joseph with feeling, after the toil of the day. May your souls, that are scorched from the heat of your path, move blissfully over the mosses of peace, and your languid tongue be refreshed from the murmuring springs of night.